The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved of God, imitators of Christ, grace and peace to you this Sunday. Amen. It is important to notice the mile markers. As we worship this morning, folks from our congregation are running the TC 10 mile and the Twin Cities Marathon. Plenty more are lined up, maybe a bit damp, at one mile marker or another to cheer like crazy. Maybe with signs or cowbells or other noisemakers in hand, cheering as those they know and those they don't know pass along the race route. Some will stick around mile, 14 or wherever they planted themselves, but others will go further along the course to another mile marker to add more encouragement with lots of love and lots of gusto. If you've been to the course already this morning, or if you've had a chance to look at the map, these mile markers offer a sense of progress. How could they not? Okay, I'm halfway done. Or this is the beginning of that incline out of the Mississippi River Gorge on the St. Paul side. Or just 2 miles to go. It's that kind of a day. It is that kind of a day. And it is important to notice the mile markers. There is plenty that could be said about today's gospel, but instead I turn to the second lesson. Paul's letter to the community at Philippi could make some good signs along the raceway. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. And then there's a colon, be in unity. Live in humility. Watch out for the needs of others. Let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean impersonate Jesus, but rather imitate him. Imitate him. Impersonators want you to think that they are someone that they aren't. Imitators, on the other hand, seek to live into the qualities they value, to imitate those qualities, to live the qualities that they see and that they know and that they would like to aspire to. As his people struggled for justice, Gandhi is reported to have said, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Hard words and often true words. Imitate Christ, dear friends. Imitate Christ. This part of Paul's letter that we heard today includes this beautiful Christ hymn, and then it finishes, "Beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you." As in, this isn't about little me, terrified, trying to do the right thing at every single turn so that I can be saved. It's not about that. It's not. But rather, this is Paul's desire for his community, more than anything, to take seriously the call to live out their salvation, their salvos, their healing, right here, right now, in the world. Live with this sense of obedience to Christ's call. Live with humility, recognizing God at work both in you and in the person at your side, in those that you agree with and those that you might not agree with. Live publicly, witnessing to the hope that is within you. And do all that, not out of your own sheer strength, but do it because God is at work in you and through you, and for the sake of a beautiful and broken world. Some days you will succeed, other days we will fail miserably, and still, dear friends, still, God is at work in us. So obedience and humility and witness, let me simply offer these mile markers for each. Obedience. Obedience. I took a short retreat this week with my peer group. It's this motley group of pastor types, close friends and colleagues. There are five of us total. We went to a retreat house in North Minneapolis, and it was lovely. Lovely to rest and to pray. Lovely to catch up with these beloved ones. Lovely to retreat, to take time apart with God and with God's people in obedience. It's that obedience word that comes up again. We are at a place called St. Jane's House. It is named for St. Jane from the 15th century, who along with St. Francis, and this is the other St. Francis de Sales, began the Order of the Visitation Sisters. So all around the house where we retreated at Emerson Avenue North, just north of Plymouth Avenue, the words of this other St. Francis were etched all over the walls, here and there, little bits. It was clearly part of this community's practice. Be who you are and be that well. Be who you are and be that well. I found these words freeing and I found them guiding. Be who you are and be that well. Obedience. Obedience. And humility. In 1974, Adrienne Rich received the National Book Award in poetry, beating out the other nominees, Audre Lorde and Alice Walker. When Adrienne Rich stood up to accept the award, she began her little speech like this. We, Audre Lorde, Adrienne Rich, and Alice Walker, together accept this award in the name of all women whose voices have gone and still go unheard in a patriarchal world. These three, together, had written this statement ahead of time with the agreement that whoever won would speak these words, realizing that humbly, powerfully, supporting one another, they could do more than by competing with one another. Humility. Humility. And finally, witness. This week has seen the death of two pillars in our congregation. It is not often that I look at the obituaries in the Sunday Star Tribune and on one page find two of our faithful, two beloved sharing the same page. On Monday morning, Bertha Hansen died, and on Friday morning, Marian Jacobs died. Both of these women have been longtime members of Hope and servant leaders in their own right. And up until just a few weeks ago, we would see Bertha sitting right there in the front row next to her son, Terry. And Bertha's close friend, Verl, who often sits right here, describes Bertha as trustworthy and generous and giving with this marvelous sense of humor. Nearly 50 years ago, Bertha was one of the creators of the Friendly Visitors Program. And to this day, Friendly Visitors offer care, visiting those in our congregation who aren't able to get to church, those who simply need a friend. And until this past June, Marian Jacobs has quietly, faithfully with a sparkle in her eye and a gentle smile, collated the bulletin every Friday morning since 1998. She told me once how all that time working with the bulletins, all the Sunday bulletins that we would then receive as we come into church, how that had enriched her own experience of worship. She knew the service well. She was able to participate so very fully. I've been thinking about Bertha and Marian much these last days, watching the arc of their lives, the mile markers come to a close. Witness, witness. Dear friends in Christ, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. The promise of baptism, I'm going to skip a step here, the promise of baptism marked Bertha's life, and it marked Marian's life. And the promises of baptism mark their dying days, and it marks their eternal rest. It is this arc over their entire lives. And it's an important milestone if we think about each of the steps along the way. One of you recently suggested that as a congregation, we might find ways of marking these passings in our community, a way of seeing the arc that is created through our lives, created by the waters of baptism and the unshakable love of Jesus Christ that holds us firm, that holds us like crazy in our living, but also in our dying and also in our eternal rest. When we live to the Lord. When we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So it's in that spirit that I invite you into prayer and perhaps a ritual that we might be able to continue as others in our community pass. I invite you into prayer. Holy God, holy and powerful, remember before you today our sisters Marian and Bertha. We thank you for giving them to us to know and to love as companions in our pilgrimage on earth. At these waters of baptism, you welcome them into your love. At these waters, you comforted them in times of trouble and encouraged them in delight. At these waters, you now enfold them into Jesus' death and resurrection and the promise of life everlasting. Console us who mourn and bring us together to feast with all the saints of God. In Jesus' name we live and we pray. Amen. Amen.